and I don't know how it's going to get through.
I try not to get bogged down and stuff. My wife told me I was getting bogged down because I was talking to Bob this morning. You know, if you want to, just a quick little tip, if you want to really learn scriptures and things, even if you have no one to teach or preach to, prepare something like you do, and you're going to really glean quite a bit from it. I'm going to try to share some stuff, and we've been speaking on the Tabernacle of Moses, and we spoke a few weeks ago about the offerings. Again, thank you for giving last week, or 2 weeks ago. Thank you guys for coming out last week, and Willie, just honored him, and all the stuff God's been doing through him, and we spoke about the gate, and the Tabernacle of Moses. Just a real quick recap, and I've already forgotten how many chapters. It's so many different chapters in the first five books of the Bible. It's 121 verses, and Paul wrote about it, or whoever wrote Hebrews, I think it was Paul, about the tabernacle. And it's an important subject, and I'm approaching it, you know, it could go on for a long, 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 long time, because there's so much in it. But I feel to just give a broad overview and just kind of go through things. It really deals with our approach and our ascent towards the Lord. If you want to go and turn with me this morning to Exodus chapter 27, verse 1 through 5. And as you're turning there, just a quick reminder, when we spoke a few weeks back about the gate, Jesus is the gate, and he's wide, and we spoke about the different cords and strands, and the passage I will enter into is gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. In a Hebrew mind, we've seen the gate and then the outer court as I look through that. And so we never lose our wonder and our amazement and our joy of what the Lord, my son is back there talking to me, our amazement and joy of what the Lord has done. And we should never come to a place in our life where we're not thankful for just Jesus. And I want to always grow in things, but I'm always going to be grounded on him and thankfulness and honoring him. So I want to speak this morning, and I have a lot to share. It's Exodus chapter 27, verse 1 through 5. Exodus 27, verse 1 through 5. And it says, "You shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. You shall make its horns on its four corners. Its horns shall be of one piece with it, and you shall overlay it with bronze. Also you shall make pans to receive its ashes, and its shovels, and its basins, and its forks, and its fire pans. And you shall make all utensils of bronze. You shall make a grate for it, a network of bronze. And on the network you shall make 4 bronze rings at its 4 corners. You shall put it under the rim of the altar beneath, that the network may be midway of the altar." All right, you read that, and you say, what in the world is that? And it's important. There's honestly a ton in there. And if we remember a few weeks ago, the tabernacle is a picture of Jesus. And one thing to keep in mind as we look through it, when you read Scripture, you compare Scripture with Scripture, and you look, and these were all things. Moses went up on the mountain, and the Lord said, make this the way I give it to you. There's always a pattern and a principle way of the kingdom. It all points to Jesus. And we have to understand that we compare Scripture with Scripture. There's types and pictures throughout the Old Testament that helps us with our relation between the Old and the New Testaments. And you can look at various different things. Remember the Passover lamb, and the New Testament says Christ, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us. Remember Jonah is a picture of Christ, and it says Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man. We have Moses. There's all these different pictures in the Scriptures, and it's a good thing to say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see you as I read this. Lord, where are you at in this? Compare Scripture with Scripture, and how does this apply to our lives? And so as we come in through the gate, there's actually a whole lot I want to say. I'm going to do the best I can with it to just kind of give you, if you can just stay with me for a few minutes, and I'm going to kind of get to the heart of something and do the best I can with it. Because I am kind of speaking some. My wife didn't know this, but on us as being as the new covenant, our identity, you know, I remember being at a meeting, which is a couple years ago, a year or two ago, with the Monson Bill, I think, and there's a guy, David Wagner, was there. He was saying, when I look out into the landscape of the world, I pay attention to what the enemy's trying to use to to mess with people. And I say, well, that's what the Lord's doing, and he's turning it around. And there's a big issue, if you look at it in our country, people struggle with identity. And I believe that's something that the Lord is actually, we can look at the counterfeit in the world, but I believe the Lord's doing something in his church. Do we understand who our identity is as sons and daughters of God? Amen. And who we are as new covenant believers. I think that in the days ahead, as we continue to press towards God, we're going to have more and more of an understanding of identity and who we are. The ark, as you come in through the gate, the first piece of furniture you came into was the ark. And I should have a picture for it because I'm visual. So if I see something, I remember it. There's an ark. And the ark was a place of sacrifice. Okay? Who was sacrificed for us? It was Christ. And so what they would do, they would come in, the priest, and they would do it on morning and evening. They would have a sacrifice on special days, on the Sabbath, on a feast day, for example, they would have a sacrifice. And they would take it in, and the blood was shed. And I'm going to get into some of that in a minute. But there's some neat things about it. It was a personal offering. It was a burnt offering. They would take the sacrifice. There was five different offerings, actually. I won't get into all that. A burnt offering, they would burn up everything. But one thing they would do in the offering, sometimes they would eat the offering. I'm going to get into that in a minute before we take communion because it all ties in together. But the initial, when you come into God, Andrew's thinking about this a lot this morning. When I come in through the gate and I see Jesus, the first thing I see is the cross. Amen. I come in, and before I can do anything else, I met with Jesus, who he is, what he did on the cross, his shed blood, everything that he became for us. And the sacrifice enabled men to draw near to God. And so what the priest, as they came in, it's a beautiful picture, they could not proceed to the laver or to the holy place until they presented the sacrifice. Okay? It was personal. Before we come to any further in the Lord, foundational, we have to receive sacrifice. We have to receive by faith his blood. Amen? And so just some cool stuff. Throughout the scriptures, there are altars. And just stay with me for a minute because I'm going to go somewhere. But if you look in Genesis chapter 8, Noah set up an altar. And if you remember, right when that happened, he set up the altar. And it says a sweet aroma went up to the Lord. And then once that happened, the Lord cut covenant with Noah. Noahic covenant in Genesis chapter 8, if you read that. I'll never again flood the earth. If you look at later on, Abraham, he set up an altar. Remember, he was going to sacrifice his son. The Lord provide a sacrifice. If you read, I think it's Exodus 19, if you read that chapter, right after that, the Lord reaffirmed covenant with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. When Jesus went to the cross to sacrifice himself, what did he set up? New covenant. It was a covenant thing. Okay, and when we see Scripture, we understand Scripture on the basis of covenant, we can see some really cool stuff. Let me just share a few little type things, then I'm going to get into kind of the heart of what I'm saying. Some of this stuff would be better in a classroom setting, but I don't have that opportunity. So I'm going to try to give you the heart of some stuff. But let me just give you some cool stuff real quick. The ark was hollow. Remember, Jesus emptied himself for us. It's a picture of Christ. It was 5 cubits by 3 cubits. So 5 cubits, if you look at the 5 wounds of Christ, his hands, his feet, and his side. 3 is the picture of the Godhead. The Father gave the sacrifice. The Son was the sacrifice. The Holy Spirit reveals the sacrifice. There's a lot of fun stuff you can look at with this. I was made of acacia wood. And acacia wood is incorruptible wood. And it actually means scourge. And remember in Psalms it says that your Holy One shall not see corruption. His flesh shall not see corruption. And Peter says we are born again of an incorruptible seed. Amen. Acacia wood, it was incorruptible. We received the incorruptible nature of Christ. It was made of brass. Brass always speaks of judgment of sin that was done at the cross. It was the largest piece of furniture, which means basically everything in our walk of Christ is founded upon the cross. Okay? Every other piece would fit in there. I can't move forward in God. I can't press in until I'm grounded in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? It has to be foundational. There were horns on it, which horn speaks of power and strength. 4 horns on the end. Just bear with me as I go through this quickly. They went upward and outward. And so our upreach, they were covered in blood too. Our walk as Christians should always be upward to the Lord. And as we talked about, like what Anne was sharing, should also be outward as well. There was 4 rings and four staves, which means they carried. We're always to carry the message of Christ everywhere we go. Corinthians speaks on that as well. There's just some really cool stuff about it. That's just a quick, that's maybe to kind of whet your appetite if you're interested in it. But it's a beautiful picture of Jesus. But let me kind of get to the heart of what I want to say. And I mentioned this some in transition. God is a relational God. Okay? And we understand Him on the basis of relationship. And if you look in the Old Covenant, before the Mosaic Covenant, before He gave the law, God came and said He wants to make them a nation of kings and priests. What's a priest do? A priest has access to the Lord, right? And they said, if you read on Exodus 19, they said, no, we don't want to. And then they had the law. If you remember as well, in the beginning, it was the Father's heart to be in relationship with His children and His creation. Okay? And Peter, remember in 1 Peter, it says, you're a royal priesthood, chosen generation. As believers, we're priests, right? We all have access to God to be relational with Him. It's like I was talking about with worship. I love worship because it's a time to be relational with the Lord. Amen? Lord, I love You. Lord, You're beautiful. He desires that because He's a relational God. And then if you go to the very end in Revelation, all the way from the beginning to the middle to the end, He says, I'll make you a nation of kings and priests. And so throughout the Scriptures, it's God's heart and His pattern for us to be relational with Him. Amen? And to kind of to move in that way and to be with Him. And so when we look at the cross and what the Lord did at the cross, there's so many things you can share. Now, I want to speak on a few things. I'm not going to be terribly long once I get into it, and we're going to take communion. It's going to tie into communion. But I want to share a couple of things the Lord did. And then I want to share something about the sacrifice of Jesus that maybe we haven't thought of before. I like to kind of give things, I haven't considered that before. It was something that really spoke to me. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and start off doing that. One thing, when we think of the altar in our 2018 Western mindset, and I can see an altar and I read about it and they're shedding blood, it seems a bit archaic, right? Why would you do that? And in those times, it was a very, as you can imagine, agricultural people. And what they would do to cut covenant with people. So if, let me say it this way. I have a show I like. Andrea likes it too. It's a, what's it, The Chef and the Chef's Life or something. It's a lady. She's in like an hour from my hometown. So I watch it and I get homesick. And she has a restaurant there in this poor area of North Carolina. And one day we're watching, and she went where they had a hog killing. And because she served it, but she never saw how it was prepared. And so she was kind of weirded out by it. When you eat a steak, I like steak. Does anyone like steak? I like steak. If I eat a steak, I'm not thinking about how the steak was prepared. Think about how yummy it tastes, and how do they cook it? Do they grill it the right way? And so you have to understand in that time, what they would do was also called a covenant meal. If I was in covenant with James, and he was my friend, we're in covenant, and he comes over to see me, what I'm going to do to honor James and to honor our covenant, I'm going to take the finest cattle that I have, and we're going to do what we have to do to get the finest piece of meat, okay? And it confirms covenant. And so what they would do in the minds and hearts of the people, for them to sacrifice it, we think of it a little differently today. What they were doing was establishing and reaffirming covenant with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And it's something, it's a big subject, but they were setting covenant. What they would do as well, if you look into it, and let me say this, a covenant meal, the offerings were made to be, some of it was burnt, but some of it was made to be eaten. And so when we have covenant, remember Jesus said in Matthew 26, He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, take, eat, this is My body. What is He asking us to do? What Jesus did on the cross for us, same thing, just as they in the Old Covenant, they would have the sacrifice and they would take and eat of it. Jesus says, I am the once and for all sacrifice. You're cutting covenant here, Mosaic covenant, but I've come to give you a new covenant. And as you come, you take and you eat of me. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me. We're partaking of covenant, his new covenant. Amen? It's a neat thought. If you go into it, it's pretty interesting. And if you, one thing to purchase forgiveness, what they would do, it was a simple method to take care of the animal. Have you ever stopped and thought why all they had to do was kill and sacrifice the animal at the altar, but Jesus was beaten for us? One thing they did in the animals in those times, they didn't take them and beat them and scourge them and do all these things. Why did they do that to the Lord? I was looking at something this week, and there's a passage, and if you all know Isaiah 53, in the Septuagint version, which is the oldest, he says, he became sick because of our sins. The pedagogy of our peace was upon him, and with his bruises we ourselves were healed. It also says in an older translation, by the transgressions of my people he is plagued. Hope you're staying with me, because I'm trying to get this out the way it comes to me. I used to work at a place when I was in Virginia, and everyone wanted to work there, not because the pay was so great, because the benefits were through the roof. Time off, if, you know, all these different discounts to places. And I was looking at someone who was saying, you know, what Jesus did on the cross for us, he gave us forgiveness, which I'm going to speak about in a minute. But everything, he says, he was beaten for our transgressions, for our sicknesses. He took all these things for our forgiveness, but he also took a beating as a benefits package for us. You ever stop to think about it that way? And so, yes, he gives us forgiveness, but he also takes our shame. He takes our sickness. He takes our diseases. And he took it on himself at the cross. So in the new covenant that he cut with me, I don't have to carry those things. Amen. I don't have to walk in sickness, shame. And part of our walk is growing as sons and daughters of God, is understanding what he's done for us and walking in it. It's easy to say. It's another thing to do it. I'll share this with you. I was in here yesterday, and the Lord was speaking to me about this. I've had a medical thing I've been dealing with for, I guess it's been close to 10 years. It's not serious. I had to get a biopsy a few years ago. My wife knows about it, a few others. I'm not going to share what it is. But it's something, and I think, you know, as a son of God, this is how I think. I base my life on the Word of God, not necessarily my experience, okay? I'm going to honor what the Word says. As a new covenant believer, as someone who the Lord has taken, he was beaten for my sicknesses. Okay? He was whipped for my shame. He was everything. He took that for me at the cross. Okay? At the altar. It's a picture of it. What Jesus did, he took all that for me. And I was actually in here yesterday, and it was kind of coming alive in me. I hope it's coming out the way it's alive in me. But I was saying, Lord, this thing, you took this for me. I don't have to carry this. I am your son. We're in covenant together. Lord, you shed your blood for me. You took all this on the cross. I don't have to carry this. And I was staying right over there, just me alone in here. So, Lord, I don't have to carry this. Now, I don't know how it works between me and the Lord, but I'll tell you this, I'm doing much better today in some areas, but I'm going to start walking. Lord, if something comes up, my shame, my sickness, anything I'm dealing with, Lord, as a new covenant believer, you've already taken care of that for me. Amen. You took it to the cross, you nailed it to the cross. It's part of my benefits package. Amen. I give that to you. You took my shame and my disgrace. It's a benefits package. I'm in the kingdom, but I get, just like at work, I get a lot of time off, I get discounts. Lord, you've taken my sickness, you've taken my sin, you've taken my shame. In Hebrews, I'm going to lose track of my notes, which is fine. In Hebrews 2:11, hang on, Hebrews 2:9, let me read that for you real quick. Hebrews. But when we understand, I think, as I said, what the Lord's going to do in the days ahead, he's going to give us a better idea, because we walk around a lot of times, like the children in Exodus did, with the wrong mentality, the wrong mindset of who God is. He's a loving Father who seeks relationship with us. With my children, it's not a perfect example, but it's an example. for my children. I'm always going to love them. I'm going to discipline them as they need to be. I'm going to speak to them, see that they're raised and that they're grown up as men and women of God. But I always want to be in relationship with them. Okay? I want a relationship with them now, and Evan, almost a year old. When Evan's 30 years old, I want to be in relationship with him. My hope is that he's grown up and he's maturing. And God always calls us, moves us forward. But my heart is to be in relationship with my son and forgiveness and all the things that he does. And in Hebrews 2:9 it says, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of his death. Remember, he suffered of his death, was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. And it says, if you go on in verse 10, he says, to bring many sons to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Jesus took everything. That's the whole purpose, Bob spoke about the incarnation, that God would become man to take on all these things. So as he cuts the new covenant with me, I don't have to. Amen? Part of that is also, and I want to speak some about this, forgiveness. And one of the things I've noticed even in my own life, if my identity is not as someone who's been forgiven, it's hard for me to forgive myself, and it's hard for me to forgive others. Have you ever been around someone who's always, I'm sorry, I should have done that, and they're always constantly taking things onto themselves? It's important that as believers we have an identity that we have been forgiven. We are forgiven. It's who we are. And let me read some, I found some other neat stuff in Colossians 2, verse 13 through 15. You don't have to turn there. And it says, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. When you come to Christ, you're forgiven. Amen? My life, I always say your life is right there. He's forgiven us. At the cross, he forgave us. Having wiped out the handwritten of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Sometimes, I I'm not a Greek scholar at all, I have no desire to be. But if you look at sometimes Greek words and you get meanings in its original context, it's really powerful, and it speaks quite a lot to us. What this is speaking about actually is like an IOU. In here. And what they would do in those times, their ink, and when Paul wrote this, and they write on papyrus, to save paper, the ink did not have acid in it, so the ink could easily be cleansed. And so what they would do sometimes to save paper, they would take a sponge, which is the same word, and wipe it off, so the paper is brand new. It's not like you scribble it out today, and the paper is like no one had ever written on it before. And so we have a list. And Paul was using a picture here to show them that they would understand. You have a paper full of transgressions. Rotten scoundrel, this, that. And it says the Lord does at the cross. He takes it and he cleanses it. And there's nothing on there anymore. Amen? And it's not just as if I never sinned. It's you never sinned because you never existed. You are a new creation in Christ. If you do sin, we have a faithful just. He forgives us if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
But my past is my past. I am forgiven. What I was before Christ is not who I am now. It's no more. He took the sponge, and it's a clean slate. And if I write something on there, his blood cleanses us from all sin, 1 John tells us, right? What do we get at the cross, at the altar? We get the blood. It cleanses us from all sins. My identity is I'm brand new. My identity is not what I used to be. It's the Lord's taken everything and he's wiped it out.
Amen.
That speaks volumes to me. I've shared this story with you. I'm going to share it again and I'm going to wrap up soon. There's this South African pastor and he's gone on to be with the Lord. But I love listening to him still. He's a wild guy. He's really good. Very, very knowledgeable in the scriptures. Really a man of the Spirit. And he was sharing a story in one of his sermons about how in South Africa he had committed something when he was a child. He was in drugs and things of that nature. And the Lord delivered him from drugs and all the things he was in. And again, this culture is different there, I'm not sure, but they sent him something. I guess he had to register or someone who made a mistake, whenever it was. And he said, no, I didn't do it. And then the people, the police came to his church one day and said, "Are you this man?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you have to come with us because you said you never did this, and you did it." And he had to go to court. And he said, "When I went to court, the guy said, 'Did you ever do this?' He said, 'No, I never did it.'" And he showed him a picture of who he was at that time, when his mugshot then. He said, "This isn't you. Do you know this guy?" He says, "No, I don't know that guy. I don't know who he is." And he said, and the judge said, "I'm done playing games with you." And so he said, "Oh, okay." He said, "I remember that guy. I remember who he was, but he's not alive anymore. In fact, I can take you to the place where he was buried in baptism, where he died, and he went on, and long story short," and he said, "and you, judge, are guilty of bringing up something that the Lord has wiped away in my life." He got away, and all he had to do was pay a fine. Imagine if we took that kind of mindset, or give me that in my heart. "James, you did this 15 years ago. I don't know who that guy is. That's not who... He died. I can take you to the spot where he was buried in baptism. You're brand new. I remember that guy, but I don't know that guy. I'm different. I'm new. Amen? Does that ring a bell?" With me, that's powerful stuff, because all of us have a BC in our life, a before Christ. All of us have a before the ark. When we took the blood, let's pass over, when we applied the blood to our lives, all of us have a pre-washed in the blood life. Amen? But that's outside. It's outside in the gate. It closes us. And as we press in, we're washed, we're cleansed. He's cut covenant. And one thing I want to read to you as well, in Hebrews. I love the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 7, let me read. Give me a second. Fine. Let me read. I'm going to read you several verses, but just listen to the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "For the law," this is verse 1, "having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they continually offer year by year make those who approach perfect." The writer of Hebrews was going back to the old covenant. He was going back to the tabernacle. He was going back to those things. And he was saying, now, as believers, we don't do that. Verse 2 says, "For then they would have ceased to be offered. For the worshippers, once purged, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there was a reminder of sins every year." They had to keep coming before, right? "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. All of that was done in faith." Okay? "Just shall live by faith. Then when he came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God.'" Jesus talks; he takes away the first that he may establish the second. "By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." Amen. Jesus' sacrifice is once and for all. "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." Again, he's going back to there daily. Morning and night, offering sacrifices. "But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for his sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, for that time waiting till his enemies made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after he had said that before, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days,' says the Lord." Again, he goes to offering, sacrifice, and he goes to covenant. "I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then," he adds, "their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is no remission of these, and there is no longer an offering for sins." Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. That was a long passage, but that's a good passage to read. And so the heart of this, and I'm going to get into communion. The whole heart of this, we come to the, I've said a lot, I know, but the ark. It's a place where sacrifice was done. And before the priest or anyone could go further, sacrifice for sin had to be made. In our own lives, have we taken and applied the blood of Jesus to our lives? Have we accepted by faith the sacrifice, the sins that He gave us? I was watching a little thing on Martin Luther this week, and if you study Martin Luther, he was an unsaved preacher, and he would beat himself to atone for his sins. He would fast for days on end to atone for his sins. And then he came to the verse, "The just shall live by faith." Have we placed our faith in the atoning blood of Jesus Christ? That's once and for all. I don't have to keep going back. "Lord, I did this then, I did this then." I have a new slate and I'm forgiven. In the new covenant, I'm a brand new creation. Brand new creation. My identity is now as a son of God, or as a daughter of God. It's not as whoever I was before Christ. That has been washed away, wiped away as if it never was on this piece of paper. I am brand new in the covenant that He's cut with me. I'm forgiven. He's given me a benefits package. He's taking my shame. He's taking everything I'm dealing with. What I would encourage you to make this applicable, anything you're dealing with in life, whether it's a sickness, whether it's a insecurity, an emotional issue, as a son and daughter of God, and this is what I do, you can do however you want to, but say, "Lord, You took this for me. This is not my portion as a son of God. In Your covenant, this is not my portion." If you're dealing with constant regret and things from the past, "Lord, that's not my portion. Give me a fresh understanding of who I am." So just like that guy who went to court and say, "I don't know that guy, but I do remember when he died." And I can have that kind of mindset where that past is the past, amen? And I'm fresh to walk in the fullness of all that God has for me and all that God's done for me and everything that He is, amen? I'm going to take communion. Bob and Michael, you guys want to pass out the elements? And Peter, do you want to play for us as we do it? And as we pass this out today, I hope I was able to articulate this the way it's in my heart and the way it's coming. I am a new creation. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, "You're acting like mere humans." That's a neat verse to me. I'm to live as a new creation in Christ. Amen. And just as He went to the cross and was getting ready to cut covenant, He said, "Take, eat," just as they took and eat of the sacrifice at the altar. We take and eat and partake of the new covenant, the covenant meal with the Lord. This is Your body. This is who You are. This is what You've done. This is Your blood. Cleanse us, wash us in Your blood as we take on everything that He's done for us. Amen.